Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/ScorecardPlus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Happy Friday to all our viewers and listeners. Of course, we had the NFL draft last night, so a lot to get to this morning, Kev.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, wow, a lot happened, but a happy Friday to you, all those watching and listening. Really excited to get into it for sure.
So let's get into our 7-7, starting off with Aaron Rodgers once out of Green Bay. The reigning MVP is so disgruntled, apparently, with the Green Bay Packers that he has told some within the organization that he does not want to return to the team. Adam Schefter broke this news yesterday.
It's the day after the NFL draft, and somehow the NFL draft is not the biggest story in the NFL because Rodgers says that he wants out. Will Green Bay budge? They say they won't. But all of a sudden, we might turn around and find out that Aaron Rodgers is just going to host Jeopardy instead of playing quarterback.
Yeah, he seems very frustrated with them. Also, at the number one pick, Jags take Trevor Lawrence as the number one overall pick in this year's NFL draft.
In the 2021 NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson.
So this was no surprise. I mean, Mel Kiper even rated Lawrence in the top five highest-rated quarterbacks ever in the NFL draft. Excited to see how he does this year.
Oh, absolutely. Early favorite offensive rookie of the year, as he should be. We know Trevor Lawrence is going to be a week one starter for this team. He's what got Urban Meyer to come out of retirement and take the leap to the NFL. Trevor Lawrence, I anticipate being about as good as everybody says he's going to be. It's a high bar, but he is a special, special player.
And Zach Wilson went number two overall. Then we have Trey Lance. He lands in San Francisco with the number three overall pick.
Look, there's a lot of, you know, conversations around what this team was going to do. When Aaron and I left the show yesterday, Mac Jones was still the pretty considerable favorite to be the quarterback for the Niners. But people were figuring it out still between Lance or was it going to be Mac Jones. Odds ended up switching to Trey Lance. Rightfully so. They make him their man at three.
Yeah, Lance was plus 280 when we talked about this yesterday with the number three overall market and then moved down to minus 200 right before that close. Let's also talk about the Chicago Bears. They traded up for Justin Fields.
Boy, how exciting is this? With the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the My Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
And the Bears, of course, traded with the Giants. Fields never lost a game in the Big Ten. He spent 2 years at Ohio State after transferring from Georgia. His over 7.5 rounds in this year's draft hit.
Steal, 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 steal. He was the fourth quarterback off the board. How is he the fourth quarterback off of the board? I mean, for years, and I mean going back to high school, Trevor was 1A and Fields was 1B, and then multiple quarterbacks, one from BYU and one from North Dakota State, find their way off the board before Justin Fields. Even though we knew it was going to happen, it's still quite the stunner. The Chicago Bears got quarterback, correct? I think so.
And quickly, just want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Now, the Heisman winner is coming to Philadelphia. Devonta Smith, let's go, the Slim Reaper. Obviously, so excited being Philadelphia fans, will be on the field for us next season. He had some great quotes when he was selected. He said he's ready to give it his all. Philly, of course, traded that number 10 spot with the Cowboys.
Devonta Smith to the Eagles is really all we wanted. It's all we were asking for, and it happened. And they jumped in front of the Giants to do it, and they needed to do that. Smith and Hurts have those reps together from their tenure at Alabama. Look, I think the Fields thing, a little bit of an overthink. I know Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Waddle are looked at as special talents, but Devonta Smith won the darn Heisman at the same position that those fellas play. I think Devonta Smith was a home run pick for the Birds.
For sure. And then we have Mac Jones. He falls to the Patriots at number 15.
England Patriots select Mac Jones.
Jones' strengths apparently mirror Tom Brady among the other QB prospects in this draft. So I thought the Patriots would have moved up to get Justin Fields, but it seems like Bama's Mac Jones is heading to New England.
We're going to talk throughout this hour for sure and throughout this show about draft lessons learned, things that will stick with us. And, you know, you always take away. And I think the idea that quarterbacks can fall more maybe than other positions is something we saw with Mac Jones. The fact that the Pats were able to stay at 15 and select him, I think, was quite noteworthy.
And NFL draft round 2 and 3 are today. Markets are already available on the FanDuel Sportsbook, in addition to markets like offensive and defensive rookie of the year and the team's next draft pick.
Yeah, I think the team next draft pick position is really, really interesting. So I think we're at the point now where we're not going to be getting exact players. Obviously, there's a lot that you can read into some of these markets. And by the way, these markets are on the move. For example, the Jaguars favored to take either offensive line or safety. Tight end is plus 430. Tight end was plus 125 when this market opened up. A couple of over-under options still around the quarterbacks, which is seeing big movement. Davis Mills now at 60.5. If you remember a while back, I think I was at 73.5 on a draft position. Excited to talk about those markets here today.
Yes, and in our next couple of segments, we are going to talk about 1 through 10. So stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break to give you more about the NFL draft.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. One of the top headlines, of course, is Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay. The reigning MVP, apparently so disgruntled with the Green Bay Packers, he's told some within the organization that he does not want to return to the team. It seems like he's going to be holding out in terms of next season. Adam Schefter breaking this news yesterday, which we assumed was going to have a huge impact on the NFL draft. Kevin, did you see any immediate impacts, especially in terms of where some of these teams landed in terms of their first round picks?
Well, yeah, all of a sudden the rumors that either maybe the Niners would trade the Packers the third pick, or that the Denver Broncos had a done deal at one point, we saw, starting to make the rounds for Aaron Rodgers. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, like this team is about to pick in the top 10. They might be taking a quarterback. Maybe they're just going to let Jordan Love roll. I mean, what are we doing here? The futures market in the NFL was impacted by this news. Green Bay went from minus 155 to win the North, at least, and I might have saw that a little bit later. I know that's down to minus 140. The Broncos saw all of their odds within the AFC West, AFC, and Super Bowl start to get on the move on the idea that Aaron Rodgers was going to become a member of the Denver Broncos. That seemed to be something that people really started to subscribe to. But I mean, it really is remarkable. Again, the NFL draft just happened. 32 first-round picks, new teams, new players. And one of, 4 guys in this league, basically, that if they came out on draft day and said, I want out, it would become the top story in sports in the league. Aaron Rodgers is one of them. The thing why Rodgers is the biggest story is, even though now that round one is done, and of course rounds two and three today, and we'll finish things up on the weekend, the dust has not settled on Rodgers and Green Bay. It's only just beginning.
Yeah, and what's interesting about, obviously, in this offseason, we have Wentz going to Indy, Goff going to Detroit, Stanford to the Rams, Darnold to the Panthers. We don't know what's going to go on with Deshaun Watson. We also were talking about at some point the Seahawks getting rid of Russell Wilson. It feels like with these quarterbacks, there's just going to be so many shakeups, which makes it hard right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook to really bet into this futures market, because there's still so many unknowns with a lot of these quarterbacks. And I feel like maybe come Monday we'll have some solid actual information that we can give you, just depending on this draft and how it goes and seeing if any other quarterbacks move at all.
I think the difficult thing here is, first of all, Rodgers clearly is as upset with this organization as they say, because Rodgers is calculated in the same way that we've talked about LeBron over the years being calculated, Aaron Rodgers just the same. It is not a mistake that this news dropped on draft day. He intentionally sent that organization into a tizzy on NFL draft day. And now I don't know if that really was a decision that would help him get the end result he apparently wants, which is to be out of Green Bay. I think a heads up sooner could have landed him possibly in a San Francisco or a Miami or a New York. All in all, if petty is what petty does, and I think he was petty in this situation. Again, good to him. I'll tell you this. I don't think Green Bay is going to be budging on this Rodgers thing anytime soon. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to buzz. Call me Captain Naive. I think this guy will step away and go host Jeopardy if they force his hand.
Well, do you think that he would be wanted by these other teams just given his age? Obviously, he's had so many accolades, but not really winning those Super Bowls. Do you think that anybody would trade him for just maybe a one-year deal instead of going in with, you know, a multi-year contract?
He's the reigning MVP. Almost every team would be interested in bringing Aaron Rodgers over. There was a quote, actually, that Adam Schefter had just tweeted out from John Lynch saying, we heard, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but we heard that the MVP might be available. Yeah, we inquired. Yeah, we absolutely made a phone call about that. And this is a guy now who just has still Jimmy Garoppolo in the building, just drafted a Trey Lance, and even he can't lie and say, no, we knew we wanted Lance, or no, Garoppolo's great. Yeah, absolutely, we made a phone call. Aaron Rodgers was available. I think around the league, people are, and I'm sure even though that round one is finished up, I'm sure plenty of teams are trying to figure out if they can bring Aaron Rodgers to their club.
Yeah, and why don't we get into some of the picks? We know number one overall, Trevor Lawrence, was going to go. This wasn't surprising. I don't think he was surprised by any means. As I mentioned in our top headlines, Mel Kiper rated him in the top five for the highest rated quarterbacks ever in the NFL draft. I think he can make an immediate impact. He's going to have the pressure to do so. Then you had number two, you had Zach Wilson. I mean, the Jets have missed the playoffs in 10 consecutive seasons, the longest active drought in the NFL. But I mean, Zach Wilson looks like an absolute child last night. I'm not judging by his appearance, but I was like nervous when these pictures came out. I'm like, oh my gosh, this kid looks like a child. But he's going to be obviously under center for the Jets. Do you think he can make an immediate impact in the same way that Trevor Lawrence will for the Jags?
Yeah, so this becomes the question. Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars marriage, we knew about when the Jags landed that selection. And nobody ever talked themselves out of it, which was nice. There was like a 48-hour window where people were like, hey, does he like football? And then he sent out a tweet, I like football, and we were all good to go. Like, all right, great, cool. Like, we're good here. Enjoy the Masters, pal. Zach Wilson getting the same treatment is still probably something we've not questioned enough, because we knew it was going to happen. We had so many other things we were trying to figure out. It was like, the Jets are really, Zach? Okay, cool. Well, fine. Just go ahead. We got other stuff we're dealing with here. I am still not sure that this was the right selection. I mean, I think people would say, oh, we won't know if any of these guys are the right selection. But all in all, Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence have spent their last, I don't know, 6 or so years, again, being 1A and 1B as far as the best quarterbacks at the respective levels that they were at through their time in high school, in different recruiting services, ranking one of them one and the other two. Then, of course, getting to college, playing in the college football playoff multiple times. Clemson would have win. Ohio State would have win. Obviously, the Fields' performance this year on the broken ribs was nothing short of sensational. To take BYU's Zach Wilson is something I still absolutely believe, Aaron, that when we finish, it might be week 8, and we're like, oh, yeah, the Jets did. They're the Jets. I still have my doubts that Zach Wilson should have been this sure thing that he was to be the second pick off the board.
I mean, you have to take into account he obviously played weak competition compared to some of these other quarterbacks. And I don't care what anybody says, that definitely makes an impact. Which then takes us to our number three, the 49ers, because they were all over the odds boards. There was so many quarterbacks just flipping and flopping there. Obviously, they went with Trey Lance, minus 200 when that closed. But he's from North Dakota State. The last person on North Dakota State that I can remember, Carson Wentz, didn't go well for us. So another one that I'm just like, you could have had, obviously, Mac Jones, who he closed, or he was at minus 300 at some point, and also his total to go under 3.5 was minus 300 as well. So obviously a lot of people were thinking it was going to be Mac Jones, but just interesting to see if the 49ers took Trey Lance.
We talk about betting lessons, right? And a lot of times people say, you got to bet these markets weeks in advance if you want the best of the number. Oh, yeah, you could bet stuff weeks in advance. You could bet Mac Jones to be the third pick weeks in advance. You did great with the number until you didn't. And what we saw, even back when we were breaking down the NBA draft, those day of moves where you start to see that separation, right, the same way that Anthony Edwards had separation to be that first pick for the NBA draft over LaMelo Ball and James Wiseman, it's typically correct. And Trey Lance flipping to about minus 200 or better to be the third pick was correct.
Yeah. And yesterday morning, he was plus 280. So even the day of, you could get a good value on him. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line with Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Dolan. We want to continue our NFL draft conversation. So, of course, with that number three overall pick, you had the 49ers. Now, what I wanted to mention is they got this pick from Miami Dolphins via the Houston Texans. So it would have been interesting, Kev, had the Texans had this pick and been able to get a quarterback in this year's draft.
Yeah, you know, you had mentioned this to me yesterday. They probably would have had to draft the quarterback if they were still there at three, which, of course, would have been really interesting if that did happen. Here's the other thing, though, when you bring this all back now with the Dolphins and the Niners, this is really the big question that we'll never get an answer to, and maybe it doesn't matter. But could this team have been able to acquire Trey Lance for less? Did they need to get up to three to bring in Trey Lance? I tell you, Aaron, as the dust settles on this, you and I have tried to figure out, did they know what they wanted when they moved up to three? I've settled on absolutely not. This team had no clue. They just knew that they wanted a quarterback. And I think that's so wild that they knew that they just needed a new quarterback and they needed to go up to three to get it. And this is the thing. Yesterday, when the Rodgers news broke, people were like, well, the Niners are out. Like, they can't actually trade for Rodgers because they've given up all their assets to get up to number three. And, like, I think Green Bay would rather as many assets as possible instead of just the third pick in this year's draft. Again, I don't know if Rodgers is going to get moved, but it's one of those things now with the Niners. You'll kind of always wonder, did they need to come up to three to make Trey Lance their quarterback?
Yeah, for sure. And now we're going to wait and see what happens with Jimmy G because a lot of rumors obviously swirling around him. Let's get to the number 4 overall pick, the Falcons. They ended up not trading back, something that we thought would potentially happen. They went with Kyle Pitts. He was -390 to go at number 4 overall. He's the highest selected tight end in history. It marks the first time also in NFL history that a tight end is the first non-quarterback selected in the draft. And the earliest a tight end has been drafted in the common draft era since 1967. This according to ESPN. The 6'6" and 246-pound Pitts should fit immediately in the new Falcons coach Arthur Smith's offense.
So a lot of records there by Kyle Pitts. A lot of folks believe the talent of Kyle Pitts justifies those records being broken. Not here. Not for me. I just don't understand how the Atlanta Falcons can look at their situation, their timeline, and think Kyle Pitts is the answer. I get it. Maybe he is, from just a talent perspective, forget the position, the best player in this draft. But you just can't ignore positions. He is going to step into this offense as the third best option behind Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. And if you tell me that Kyle Pitts is a safety blanket for a potentially departing Julio Jones, then you needed to draft a quarterback because you are rebuilding. They should have took the quarterback regardless, I think, because they're going to find themselves rebuilding at one point or another. And I don't really know, again, as special as Kyle Pitts is, if you're saying, well, we're focusing on the now. We want a player that makes us better this coming season. I think then a Penei Sewell to strengthen up the offensive line, or one of the elite defensive players in this class, a Patrick Surtain, a J.C. Horn, would have made more sense for the Atlanta Falcons. It appears they stubbornly sat there at 4, asked for far too much for a team to come up, balked on a future, and took a player that is going to be a great NFL player. I don't doubt that. But from a value perspective, I don't think the Falcons got the most out of the 4th pick.
Yeah, and I feel like the Falcons, this obviously screams, they're just looking to build around Matt Ryan, which is fine. But come, you know, their long-term plan, they should have just taken a quarterback, especially with Mac Jones on the board and Justin Fields as well. Just kind of, you could have traded those off pieces to kind of make the offensive line better around Matt Ryan throughout the offseason, especially even with rumors about Julio Jones. So I kind of just feel like in the long scheme, long run of things, they should have just taken a quarterback. Let's get to number 5, the Bengals. They go to Jamar Chase, reunited with Joe Burrow, and I guess it feels pretty good. The duo was electric. At LSU in 2019, Chase compiled 84 receptions for a little over 1,700 yards and 20 touchdowns from Burrow during the national championship run. Now, Chase opted out the 2020 season, so that's why you don't remember really seeing him on the field, but he goes with that number 5 pick.
Confirmed. Cincinnati Bengals did not watch this year's Super Bowl. An interesting decision from that organization to just ignore what we saw in the Super Bowl. Because I'll tell you this right now, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Mixon is not a more talented team than Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and everything that the Kansas City Chiefs were bringing to the table. But all of those weapons were neutralized. And in fact, even worse than that, they scored no touchdowns in the Super Bowl because their offensive line was in tatters. Joe Burrow, when he was injured in the game against the Washington football team, was the second most sacked quarterback in the league at that point. Carson Wentz, of course, number one. Joe Burrow goes down with a season-ending injury, and somehow the Cincinnati Bengals not bothered by any of this and take Jamar Chase. Again, same thing with Kyle Pitts. I think Jamar Chase has everything to go out there and be an all-pro kind of player. I just don't think they made the right pick in Jamar Chase. I get it, buddy-buddy with Joe Burrow. I mean, if we're just going to replicate LSU, give up the farm for Justin Jefferson, fire Zach Taylor already, get Joe Brady over, see if Ed Ogeron wants to come and say, go Bengals. I mean, because at this point, we're wasting our time if this is what all that matters when we're drafting players here. I think it should have been Penei Sewell.
Yeah. We talked about this yesterday. I'd asked you about what you think of people being reunited with their college teammates, and you made a great point that just in general, college is so different than the pros, so it's not always the best idea. But in terms of match bets, if you took Chase minus 215 to go over Penny Sewell, not of course hit for you. Now, another teammate that is reunited with that number six pick, the Dolphins, who we also expected could have traded back, or the Patriots we were talking about maybe even trading up and taking that spot. Jaylen Waddle, he'll receive a four-year deal for $27.1 million with almost $17.1 million signing bonus. He was minus 125 to get a wide receiver for the Dolphins, and he's going to be reunited with Tua.
It's really wild, but if you're a player that think, you know, you might be a fringe round one talent, okay, in next year's NFL draft, figure out a way if you can transfer to one of these schools that has a quarterback that's supposed to go in round one as well, okay? Or if you think you're a 2023 possible talent, because we've now seen Waddle back with Tua. We saw Chase back with Burrow. Later in the draft, Smith back to Hurts. ETN, I'm almost positive Trevor Lawrence made that pick at 25. I mean, again, this was the kind of story of round one. Just a lot of these talents being reunited with their college quarterbacks here. Jaylen Waddle is a guy that we started to see go higher and higher in these mock drafts. His over-under draft position was 9.5, a play that if you, you know, and it started up at 11.5, by the way, Aaron. I mean, if you made those unders on Jaylen Waddle, you did not sweat that out one single bit. You pretty much knew that was going to be the direction when the Bengals took Ja'Marr Chase here. The Dolphins to select a wide receiver was also a bet that we had talked about on the show at minus 125. It felt like one of the safer plays. It ended up being one of the safer plays.
Yeah, and while over the last couple of weeks we had question marks around the Dolphins and what they were going to do, there was also question marks we talked about with the number seven pick with the Lions and number eight with the Panthers. We weren't sure exactly what they would do, but the Lions ended up going with Penny Sewell, the offensive tackle out of Oregon, to help alongside, of course, Jared Goff. Now, plus 360 for the Lions to take an offensive lineman.
All in all, for the Detroit Lions, I think they hit a home run here. Penny Sewell is going to come in right away and I think offer them elite offensive tackle play. There's reports that he's going to play right tackle, which he never did at Oregon. I don't know if we should be worried that they're switching sides on him. I'll wait to, you know, down the road we're in camp and he can't figure out right tackle. Well, then the Detroit Lions might have to figure something out. But I think Penny Sewell is a blue chip talent. Him and Pitts are probably the safest players in this draft class, and the Lions bringing him into Detroit is great. As far as the Panthers go, everything was on the board for the Carolina Panthers. Trade up, trade down, corner, wide receiver, tackle. I mean, all of it was in play for this team. They made J.C. Horn, though, the first corner off the board. And that was a bit of an upset there, Aaron, that J.C. Horn ended up having his name called before Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were really surprised by this Panthers pick. I even felt like the broadcasters were like, oh, they went with J.C. Horn. This is very interesting. But for them to take a quarterback being the Panthers, it was plus 750 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. This also, to me, screams, I guess they feel pretty confident in Sam Darnold with whatever they are seeing from him. How about that number nine pick with the Broncos? They also took a cornerback. That was plus 500 if you bet that on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the Broncos.
The buzz in the basement was palpable. Broncos to select a quarterback plus 340, and odds ended up moving, so I couldn't take the options. I had to just take the quarterback at plus 340. I thought we were going to cash a ticket. I thought we were going to cash a pretty big plus number. They took Patrick Surtain. All in all, I think it's still a good enough selection there for the Denver Broncos, and maybe they're not out of the running on possibly bringing Aaron Rodgers to Mile High. And also, it did have a domino effect, I think, that allowed the Eagles to make Devonta Smith a bird.
Yeah, and two cornerbacks, of course, off the board in a row. Coming up next, we're going to talk about that number 10 pick with the Philadelphia Eagles. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday to all our viewers and listeners. You're tuning in to The Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host, Kevin Walsh. We are continuing with our NFL draft to recap with the number 10 pick. The Birds get that. They trade with the Cowboys, which was a little surprising there. But we have Devonta Smith coming here, wide receiver to go for the Philadelphia Eagles, plus 155. Now, Smith led the NCAA in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns en route, of course, to the Heisman Trophy win in 2020. I'm excited for this, Kev.
What do you say? I'm thinking that we just sit here and smile for the next 13 minutes. I mean, it's a great pick.
We also had high expectations of being disappointed. You know what I'm talking about? So, like, we're more even jacked up about this than we should be.
Absolutely. I mean, they were sat there at 12, and I was like, all right, I think that this is going to be okay. By the way, I bet $10 on them to take the defensive lineman at 13-1. And I literally had to put $10 down just in case they were going to upset me. I would make a little money off of it. Plus, it was a great find by you. So we had to put a little $10 down on that. I've never been happier to give $10 to the FanDuel Sportsbook. At the end of the
day. Are you surprised that they moved up, though? I know we had talked about it yesterday. We thought they were going to, but it still makes me question. Like, you had that number 6 overall pick, so why did you even do the whole moving back, this and that? The drama around the Philadelphia Eagles, just as per usual, but.
But, Aaron, it was a masterclass from Howie Roseman. He went back from 6 to 12, right? Added a first round pick from the Miami Dolphins, and then in order to get up to 10 in front of the New York Giants, who quite clearly, based on what they did at 20 and the fact that Dave Gettleman traded back here, were taking Devonta Smith. All he had to give up was the 84th pick in this draft. The Eagles came into this draft with more draft picks than anybody else. Mm-hmm. They had multiple third rounders. They didn't even give up the best third rounder that they had in this draft to the Dallas Cowboys. They did a tremendous job by going back to 12 and up to 10. And folks were like, you took yourselves out of Ja'Marr Chase and Kyle Pitts. No, they didn't. Those guys went 4 and 5. Even if I disagree with it, they both were gone by when Philadelphia would have been selecting at 6th overall. At the end of the day, I'll take my chances on the Heisman Trophy winner. We cannot value playing against SEC competition for all of these kids and then hand wave it when it comes to Devonta Smith and say that he is too small. Like, he's 166 pounds or 170 pounds. I don't care. He's like 10 pounds lighter than Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is one of the best wide receivers of the last decade. Maybe the best wide receiver of the last decade. So, you know what? I'll take my chances here. He's got reps in the bag already with Jalen Hurts. I think it was a phenomenal pick by the Philadelphia Eagles. And by the way, folks, Eagles fans don't just say that every year. I was distraught last year at pick after
Vikings
pick
fans are still laughing at us. That.
Exactly. Vikings fans. Ugh.
But no, so I'm excited to see him play, though. I feel like he's going to fit in well in Philadelphia, just in general with the culture. I mean, I know that the Philadelphia 76ers last night quote tweeted one of his tweets from 2017 saying 76ers in 5. So I think he's kind of a Philadelphia Eagles fan just in general, which is awesome. And I think he'll really fit in here. And obviously, we wish him nothing but the best when he comes here. So I'm excited for it. And now that we have a wide receiver that we feel confident in, I'm not saying we didn't feel confident in Jalen Reagor, but I mean, TCU, again, we're not going to go there. Anyways, let's switch to the number 11 pick. Bears trade with the Giants, of course. They now have Justin Fields, who's never lost a game in the Big Ten. He played 2 years at Ohio State after transferring from Georgia. Now, Giants GM Dave Gettleman has never traded down any round as a GM for the Giants or the Panthers, so not surprising he traded back. But how do you think Fields is going to fit in for the Bears?
Man, it's so weird. So let's just, again, right, for a moment here. Justin Fields, whole life, 1A, 1B, Trevor Lawrence, right? Ends up being passed by a quarterback that went to BYU and a quarterback that went to North Dakota State. Zach Wilson played next to no competition.
And there's no
Trey Lance this year.
off-field issues. Played. Like that, maybe you'd factor that in, like, okay, maybe he's not a team player, but everybody raved about how great of a team player he was and a leader.
Of course. Absolutely. 100%. And at the end of the day, the Chicago Bears have to be over the moon about bringing Justin Fields to Soldier Field. I mean, this is incredible. This team's quarterback, like, since they drafted Mitch, it's just been bad thing after bad thing. They passed on Cam Newton. People thought that was a mistake. They brought Nick Foles in. They used Nick Foles' superpowers in the beginning of the season instead of the end of the season, which is obviously a mistake, and they didn't understand that you use Nick Foles weeks 15, 16, 17, and then into the playoffs, so a botch from them there. All of the sudden, Andy Dalton is who they were going with after Watson rumors, after Russell Wilson rumors. You have to be kidding me. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy being brought back was an absolute gut punch to these fans. And then they get Justin Fields. I mean, That is such a win. It's incredible. I think the Giants did well for themselves here. The player that they wanted at 11 was no longer there. They pivoted, grabbed a later first-round choice here, a future first-round choice from Chicago Bears team. No guarantee the Bears are going to be good. All in all, I think both parties have to be buzzing after that trade. But if you're the Chicago Bears, I mean, the hope that they now feel around Justin Fields, it's palpable, and I agree with it.
Yeah, and Fields going over 7.5 rounds, of course, that cash for you. Now, let's also talk about at number 15, the Patriots. They obviously went with Mac Jones. I felt like Jones was probably just sitting around like, what's going on? Who is going to take me? I was surprised the Patriots didn't move up to get somebody like Justin Fields, but the Bears obviously being able to take him off the board first. Now, Mac Jones, a lot of people saying that he's going to be the replacement, that maybe was the Tom Brady that they're missing. But, of course, they also have Cam Newton, so it'll become a competition of who would really start there. Obviously, I believe Cam would get that starting position, but if he doesn't play well, Bill Belichick will pull him real quick in my eyes and put Mac Jones in.
So I'll say I think for New England, being able to stay at 15 and get Mac Jones does make this a little bit easier, right? You didn't have to go out there and give up tons of draft capital to land your quarterback. If you look at it, right, the Niners had to give up first-round picks. The Bears had to give up first-round picks. The Jaguars and the Jets were horrendous, and that's how they landed their quarterbacks. The Pats were able to sit there at 15 and get Mac Jones. All in all, I think Patriots fans and anybody that was looking to back the Pats perhaps in the futures market would have preferred them giving up extra draft capital, though, to make Justin Fields the next franchise quarterback at Gillette Stadium there. The thing for me is, you know, Mac Jones and Cam Newton, I mean, you want to talk about polar opposites. A guy in Cam Newton last year whose value was almost exclusively what he brought to the table athletically versus a guy who is now being banged up for how he's just not an athlete, really, at the quarterback position in the way that everybody outside of Tom Brady basically is an athlete at the quarterback position. It makes me really concerned about what this next coming season will look like for New England, because is your offense going to be tailor-made around Cam Newton? I thought they did an awful job last year maximizing Cam Newton. I really, really think that every single week Cam was getting the brunt of it. I thought the Patriots, Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels were awful on a weekly basis. They put absolutely zero weapons around Cam Newton last year. I know they've looked to figure that out some. But if they do make this switch, Aaron, from Cam Newton to Mac Jones, I mean, that won't make a ton of sense. Bill Belichick reiterated Cam Newton's our quarterback. I mean, it really, and I don't say this to be a joke, I would not be surprised if they start going 50-50 snaps. Cam Newton first series, Mac Jones second series. I have no idea what their plans are with Mac Jones and Cam Newton, because, boy, is that a couple of quarterbacks that do not play the position the same.
Yeah, and with that number 15 pick, that kind of wraps up all the quarterbacks that have gone in the first round. Let's talk about running backs, because I know a lot of people were equating Najee Harris yesterday to the Steelers, and he ended up going there with the number 24 overall pick for the Steelers. Now, for the Steelers' first drafted player to be a running back, it was plus 130, so you got a little bit of money there. But there's two running backs that went off the board back-to-back, number 24, and then with number 25, we have Travis Etienne going to the Jags.
Mm-hmm. So I always think it's interesting when a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers can select at 24, 23 picks in front of you, and people weeks out know who you're going to draft. Like, that's just so bizarre that that is a possibility, but it is. Look, ultimately, taking running backs in round one, probably not a great idea in 2021, if we're quite honest. I do think that Najee Harris can be a really good player for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but also they probably would have been better off spending that draft capital elsewhere. The Travis Etienne thing is stunning. And I say this as somebody that cashed an under 31.5 draft position ticket on Travis Etienne. I cannot understand this move from the Jacksonville Jaguars outside of, we wanted to get Trevor Lawrence's teammate in the building to make him feel more comfortable. Because the Jaguars, while I understand that some of the, you know, front offices changed with Urban Meyer and the new regime coming in, not everybody is different. And all in all, the Jaguars, more than any team in the league last year, saw the value at not overpaying at the running back position as they let Leonard Fournette go, a player that they selected at fourth overall a couple of years ago, and saw James Robinson, an undrafted rookie, be better than Leonard Fournette until I know playoff Lenny. I mean, I don't know how this team thought they needed a running back with James Robinson there, but even more so thought to themselves, if they do need a running back, why would they need to spend a first-round pick on that position when they got James Robinson last year and he didn't go in any of the rounds? I just thought that was such a puzzling move from the Jags.
It's interesting for these teams to really kind of equate some of the players that they're picking up with players that are already on the team. We'll see how that shakes out over the season. Obviously, we had it with the Dolphins, we had it with the Bengals, and now, of course, with the Jacksonville Jaguars as well. But just wanted to overall really quickly talk before we come up into the break on things that we learned when betting on the NFL draft. For me, the most important thing I would say is in some of these markets, when we were looking at them and we were seeing, okay, this team wants a cornerback, for example, this is the odds for the first player they're going to select. The FanDuel Sportsbook and just sportsbooks in general couldn't be absolutely certain on where all these teams were going to go and what pick they were going to go with, just based on the fact that obviously teams were able to trade up during the draft.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'll also add, don't be scared to play multiple quarterback overs, right? We talked about yesterday splitting it with Lance and Fields. My biggest regret is that I didn't bet the Mac Jones over as well. I should have took all three of them to the over, but all in all, you live and you learn.
Yep, stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. It is now time to get to our hero of the night.
Hero of the night coming off of round number one in the 2021 NFL draft. And, you know, there's a lot of different things there. I thought about Jalen Phillips. He went at the 18th spot with an over-under 18.5 draft position. I considered the fact that there were five straight defensive players selected to end round number one, which cashed the over 13.5 defensive players drafted and then cashed the under 18.5 offensive players drafted, but quite honestly, I lost on one of those bets, so I was not going to give anybody the hero of the night. I desperately considered giving a villain of the night to the Green Bay Packers, how these jabronis once again did not take an offensive player that wasn't a quarterback, especially on the heels of the Aaron Rodgers news, is beyond me, and I blame them entirely for losing the under-defensive players pick, but that's not the point here. Because Hero of the Night's positive. We go positive here on Hero of the Night. And I'm giving it to Dave Gettleman. You know what, Dave? Good for you. 8 drafts, 54 picks made. He has never, ever traded back in the NFL draft. And he finally breaks that streak by going from 11 back to 20. Said he never wanted to do it because he didn't want to get fleeced. Well, you know what, Dave? You did a pretty good job. You grabbed yourself the 20th pick. You did a nice job getting an additional first rounder from the Chicago Bears. I think you waited at the perfect opportunity. Oh, and then also, because you're Dave Gettleman and you can't help but be wild, you take Kadarius Toney, who was 60-1 to be the first player drafted by the New York Giants. Dave Gettleman, nice job. You're the hero of the night.
Very deserving hero of the night. And stay with us here on the early line. Coming up next, we have a lot to get to in our top headlines and then some NBA and Kentucky Derby action. Stay with us.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.